someone here. He wants you to talk.
Huh?
Hi.
Pick up my pencil every time he came here.
Maybe
I'll
try that there. Hi. Sounds. But he has a Listerine cough drop.
Mm-hmm. Put that there.
What? Sarah.
Come on, babe. Come on. I know. I cut them all around.
Wet there, you see that? Good wet. Come on. Push him on. Push him on. Push him on. You push him on. Go ahead.
Come on.
Yes. Okay. Push your mom. Push him with your mom. Go ahead.
Well, if you would tell me who you are first. Tell me your name first. So
Ernest Kenneth Cadbarrow.
And where was your first home? Where were you born?
I was born up in Inland, somewhere up Inland. I don't know where, just exactly where. But I was raised up in Barrow.
I see. And when you grew up here, did you go to school here? Was there a school here then?
Yeah, the school was here when I was born. I was only been at the school for a short time. You see, it was very hard time for having a food in here in the village. You see, my old parents have to go up inland every time looking for food, something like that. So that is why I don't never stay in school very much. I was only fifth grade. That's all I've been in school.
What, when your parents went inland for food, what did they look for?
They look for any kind of a food that was in the inland, you see, some caribou, fishing, or whatever you call it, ptarmigan or something like that in the wintertime. So in the summertime they had a lot of different kind of an animal. So that is why they stay up inland all the time, bring it all the time.
How did your father hunt?
Well, I was born when the rifle is coming.
So he had a rifle?
He had a rifle, a fishnet, or anything kind.
Is that so? Before his time, how did they hunt the caribou?
The way I heard, when the old people were talking about the hunting, you see, they had only a bow and arrow for hunting caribou. And in the wintertime, they have to make a corral out of snow blocks or something like that. So I was...
They would drive them into the corral then?
Mm-hmm. They don't drive them in the winter. They don't drive them in the corral. So they have, when they finish that corral, they have to leave that corral for themselves. Run away someplace. And meantime, they have to look around for that corral. If the deer was inside, they have to go on over and kill it. One time I had my wife and the old man of my wife's father gone up to the inland for hunting caribou. So that old man was showing me how to make a corral for the winter time for deer. So after we finished that corral, we just waited for about 3-4 days. There were a lot of caribou around the tundra. One morning I climbed up to the high hill to see whether the caribou was in the corral. Finally I saw them, there's a lot of them. in our corral. It's about a little over 100 caribou. So we have to go in over. Now they don't never go in out through the corral. You see, it's, the plaque is standing up and put the black spot on top of it. They're just in the body is about 200 feet each, all around the corral.
The big blocks?
Mm-hmm. Not so big.
No?
It was about 5 feet long.
I see.
We only put the piece of a plaque spot on top. Can never pass out through that corral.
Oh.
So when we get over to our corral, we catch about 40, 45 or something like that, enough that we should use him for trapping. So we let leave him, the deer in the corral. So next morning, he was still in that corral. We have to drive him out the next day because they don't ever go out from the corral themselves.
They didn't drive themselves out. You had to drive
no,
them out.
No, they just go in themselves through the mouth of that corral.
Yes, I see. Now, would you then take, you would shoot some of them?
Yeah, shoot some of them, mm-hmm. because we haven't got no bow this time. They're very close when they come right out.
Mm.
So if I got a bow or something like that, I should kill
You would have no problem.
So I only have a rifle, so I shoot them, quite a lot of them.
What kind of a house did the people build when they traveled inland? Did they have a tent?
You mean in the summertime, they have to have a tent made out of a caribou skin.
Hmm.
It's not the regular tent, but making a round tent, something like this, with a frame it with willows or something like that,
mm-hmm.
and then just covered it with the skin.
Mm-hmm.
The skin is sewn together.
Yeah.
They're awful big, you see, just enough to cover the family house
yes.
in the summertime. But in the wintertime, we usually making a snow house.
You did.
You never saw a snow house.
I never did, no.
Well, when you're going up to Fairbanks, you know Rex Ukakuk?
Yes.
Tell him to make a snow house.
I'll tell him. This winter, I'll say, come in my front yard and build me an igloo. Snow, he knows how to build one.
Yeah, I think so. He was right here at Barrow.
Yeah?
Mm. Well, either his father, Guy Ukakuk.
Yes. And he's there in Fairbanks, isn't
mm-hmm.
he? Well, I'll go and see him.
That's what we use it in the wintertime when we travel, you see.
You did, like they use over in to the east, over in the Canada side.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen pictures, the round dome type.
No, we're making a different kind
you do?
Of a...
You make a different kind?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what is
it? I know them how they're making a snow house
uh-huh.
up in the Canadian side, but we're making a square blocks ourselves.
You do?
Just like in a house.
Mm-hmm.
Making it a little bit rough, look like this.
Uh-huh.
The side is just like the house.
I see.
But making it smaller than the house, you see, just enough for one or two person.
Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't know that people here on this side used snow blocks for houses.
No, we've been using it in the wintertime.
Uh-huh.
All the time myself in the wintertime when I hunt mm-hmm. up inland.
Now, how did you know how your family happened to come here to Barrow? Your parents from
my old Barrow,
mm-hmm.
my old parents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think they've been at Barrow all the time just before I was born. But they're what they call is Nunamute. The peoples they don't ever have a exactly place where they have to live. But they have to travel all the time, follow the caribou or something
yes.
like this in the winter
yes.
time or even in the summer.
Yes.
They don't come right on when at Barrow. But in a short time they come to Barrow or either somewhere along the beach, coming here for hunting seal and ooruk or something like that, so they can making a plover when they're going up to inland again.
The Nunavut, did they hunt whale ever?
No.
They
just stay up in Newland all the time.
I see.
The only thing, they come here in the springtime hunting a little bit for seal hunting or something like that for making a clubber. But when they come to the village like this at Barrow or somewhere, they have to buy a proper of muktuk or something like that.
Would they bring caribou skin or any of the caribou into trade?
Yeah, that's what they do.
I see.
Because people that are living right here at the beach, they don't never go up very far for hunting caribou. They just stay here for hunting, where the hunting is good for seal or something like that. But when the Nunavut was coming here to the beach, they have to buy their skin, and Nunavut have to buy a plover or something like that. Just trade each other what they have.
Down on the Kobuk in that area, they had a kind of a special arrangement so that the inland people and the coastal people would have special, sometimes the men would be in pairs, and they would, certain men on the coast would trade with certain men inland. They had special friends that traded back and forth. It's like maybe two men would hunt for each other on the coast.
Yeah, that's what they do. That's what they do here at Barrow too. You see, I know my old father, they had a partner at Barrow. His partner was hunting here at the beach.
Yes.
For seal or something like that, kind of making a flubber or some meat from the ocean, you see.
Yes.
Then in the winter time, he had to take something for his partner.
Mm-hmm.
Load up his slate and coin up.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he reached, he had to keep all what he had in a sleigh to his partner. And when he ready to go on home, he had to pick up anything he wanted from his partner too.
He did.
That's what they do in here too, just like Kubik.
Same way, that's very interesting.
They don't think about price or something like that. Yes. They're just giving back to each other.
Yes. Now, when they came in, when they came to the coast, would they come in sometimes for Nalakatuk?
I don't know. I can never tell that. I think so. They do that, I think.
Did they have any kind of ceremonies of their own, I wonder? Like
they had some, I think, right here at Barrow, but I can never tell you about that myself.
Yeah.
Because I was raised up in inland all the time.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if they had ceremonies for the... For the caribou too, you know, like people on the coast, they had the special ceremony for the whale, and you know how you always give the drink of water to the animal after he's killed, and some of the old customs. I wonder if they did the same thing for the caribou.
I don't think so. Only one woman I saw him right here at Barrow when I raced up there. He was kind of a medicine man or something like that. So, one time I was trying to go out and hunt whale and pick up all my crew, you see, about eight crews I had in my boat. So just before I was going out in the springtime, that old woman come to me, and he wanted to do something for my canoe on his medicine or something like that. If he do, she told me, I should get whale. So I told him, I'm not rising up to that kind of a business myself because the missionary was coming here already.
I see.
But it was some of them. I know two or three men around here still have a medicine man when I was a young boy.
Yes.
At Merrill. As long as they understand what the preacher have to say, they quit working on that thing.
Yes, yes.
I don't know what about the caribou. I can never tell you about that. I was known my father was hunting caribou, but I don't think they do something what he cared about. I never knew it.
Gee, you know, that sure was nice when that turned down a little bit. I wonder, could we turn that down just a little? It'll make the tape a lot more clear. Is that enough? Can you hear? Well, that helps. Thank you. I hate to bother you. I hate to interrupt you. You were raised inland with the caribou hunting, in, but then you came to the coast. You had your own boat here, you said. You had your own umiak here in Barrow.
Yeah. I was just running about two or three springs. Mm-hmm. I just quit doing that. I get one here in the springtime. So it's very hard to feed your crew in that time, you see, because no job around here. All I have to do is hunt fox or something like that in winter time. That's the only thing we have to have. English food from the store there. Selling of white fox, cross fox, red fox, whatever you get in the wintertime for trapping. That's the only thing we can buy. Your food or something like that. Yeah. Flour, tea, flour, sugar, something like this. Got no job around here. So when you're running a boat for a whaling, you got to have about 7 or 8 person in the canoe.
Yes.
So you have to feed it. And beside that, you have to buy your own bombs for whale.
Yes.
The bomb is about $12 one.
Yes.
So it was a little bit hard for me to run a boat.
It costs quite a bit then, yeah, to get the umiak and the crew and to, mm-hmm, feed everybody.
Mm-hmm. And also my family up in the shore.
Where were they?
Right on the beach there.
I see you have to feed them too. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, I have to feed my family too, including my boot.
Sure.
So I quit. I was trying only about 3 years, that's, mm-hmm, all. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit hard for me to feed all of my family and the crew.
About what time, when did you move here to Barrow to live here?
Well, just before I got married, I was about 12 years old, I think, when I started to live at the village,
mm-hmm,
when my old parents died.
Oh, I see.
I was just about 12 years old when parents died.
Where did you go to live then?
I was living with my brother and sister.
Oh.
And I raised up here in Barrow. Never, mm-hmm, go any place very much now. But going up inland often, mm-hmm, in the summer, in the winter time, trying to hunt or something like that. Awful hard time to live here at the village in the winter time, you see.
Yes, I think it would be.
Mm.
Yes. How did you meet your wife?
Hmm?
Your wife. Did you meet her here?
Yeah.
You grew up together a little bit?
Mm-hmm. My wife is raised up down Wainwright, somewhere down Wainwright or other side. I don't know just exactly where she arrived, but down below.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came here, she was at the Barrow already. So I meet her.
And then, and I noticed you told me that you were doing something for the church. So I was wondering, did you go to church as a young man here?
Yes, I was raising here since before I get married, you see,
uh-huh,
while my old parents are alive.
Mm-hmm.
So these people, old people, you need in that time when the missionaries first come around here, they changed their life already.
Yes, I bet they did.
Mm. So these my old parents, they took me over to church every Sunday or on Wednesday.
Yes.
So they have to learn a little bit from this preacher when I listen to the preacher when they talk in the church. That is why I learn a little bit since I was a boy.
Yes,
sure.
So then, with your wife, did you get married in the church?
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
About when was that?
Oh, I didn't remember. That was Sarah. You see, my Bible's up here. See what month we get married, or see what year. In the back. It was on November, I think.
In November 21, 1923.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the same year my parents got married.
Oh.
My mother and dad got married that year. So then, did you go to work at all, or did you just hunt and trap all winter?
No, as long as the White Navy come around here.
That was in 1941, I think.
Yeah, I think so, making a camp over here. Before that, I earning a little bit money for working at the government, you see, carrying a mail from here to Point Hope by
you
dog
did.
Team.
Yeah. You did?
I was running about 3 years, I think.
You did? Oh, I think that I...
That was making about 3 trips a year.
You did? How would you go from here to Point Hope, did you say?
I used my dogs in the wintertime.
Yes. Was there a regular trail?
Not so much. I have to use a map.
You had a map?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there were any maps.
Well, I had a map around here, too.
I see. How many dogs did you have?
Depend how much load you're going to have.
Oh, really?
It 500 pounds is the limit for the regular mail. But they had the extra mail, too, if you wanted. So sometime it was over 500 pounds, you see.
It was.
Including my food and my dog feed, something like that. It was pretty close to 1,000 pounds a trip.
So much. How long would it take?
Well, when I start
in the fall,
on November, mm-hmm. The first trip I make from Barrow to Point Hope. That took me about sometime less than a week, or sometime 2 weeks, depend on the weather. Mm-hmm. In the wintertime, you see, in the fall, sometime bad weather, mm-hmm. Stormy or something like that, I had to stay about 2 or 3 days in one place. Mm-hmm. But when the weather is good for a week or something like that, it took me about 4 or 5 days only from here to Point Hope.
Did you go right down the beach?
Mm-hmm, follow the beach. But when I went over a little bit out of sight of
Point Lay?
Yeah, Point Lay. This little high hills or something like that, the mountain, go right on the beach in that same place. So I have to go across right between the mountain, follow the trail.
I see. You would.
I don't have to follow the beach, you see.
I see. During the winter like that, would there be any people living along the way?
Somewhere from Point Lay all the way down to Point Hope in the trapping season. Some people are trapping along the beach, but not often. I have to see a family. In that place and another place, something like that.
You would take the mail too?
Mm-hmm.
How nice.
That's making.
That's so nice when the mail comes, you know, it makes people so.
Yeah, they're expecting too much of it.
I'll bet they were. Yes, isn't that true? Expect too much. Mm-hmm. How about polar bear? Did you ever meet polar bear on the way?
No, I don't ever do a little hunting while I was carrying the mail. You see, I have to make a trip. All right, down. But when I'm going home, I have to hunt right here at Barrow, you see. I don't care very much about hunting while I was doing my business.
Oh, sure, of course. Would you camp on the way? What did you do to stop overnight?
Well, I told you just before, I have to make a snow horse.
You would do that?
Yes.
You did that every night?
Every night, as long as I find a good place for making a snow horse.
Yes.
But from Point Lay all the way down to Point Hope, it was about three or four traveling house. You know when you want to camp in that place, you have to camp there. Whatever they call the white man making a house, building like this.
Oh, I see. I like a frame house.
Mm-hmm.
In the early days, did the Eskimos ever build houses out of driftwood, like a permanent or a sod?
Yes, they're making all the way down from Point Lay, down Point Hope. I saw a lot of houses, the old houses made like this.
Yeah, but just for when you traveled by, you know, to use just when you traveled. Would they ever like build a house just for when you traveled, for being on the
road? No.
No. But gee, when you were running the mail like that, then they did have some houses to stop in.
That's the way they had all the way from here down to Point Hope.
They did have houses to stop in.
Road houses, you know, that's what they call
roadhouse.
Road house,
yes.
Mm-hmm. We had one still standing up here between Barrow and Wainwright.
Mm-hmm.
And from Wainwright down to Icy Cape, there one still standing down there too. And from Point Lay all the way down to Point Hope is about two or three, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's still standing. I don't know whether they use it or not right now. Because they don't ever run a mill by dogs like by running the mill by plane now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. You know, it is hard to imagine how it was those days, now that we just get on the airplane and we go.
Mm-hmm.
Or you get in a car, or you get in a snow machine. You know, not too many people go make a long trip with a dog anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think.
Yeah, that's what you hear at the village right now. Mm-hmm. They don't never had any dogs.
No, I know. I still walk around and...
One I know right now is Reverend White.
Does he have dogs?
They're racing up the dogs. It's about four or five dogs. They're doing right here, right now.
Oh? For dog sled?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, is there anything you could do to, what would happen if the runners stuck in the, if it got a little bit warm and then the runners stuck? What do you do here?
We had two different kind of runners we've been using, or three. My old parents used the runners out of a bone.
Oh.
Whatever they call the whale bone. You see right here the long jar of a whale right by the
jawbone.
Mm-hmm,
yes.
Of a jar bone. That's what they're making a runners out of that for their slate, my old parents. But when I raced up, I have to use iron.
Yes.
Just like the store headed right here in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So in the winter, from January I think, I have to change my runner of a hardwood. When I want to climb up to inland for hunting, I have to put my slate wooden runner, hardwood runner, or something like that, so I can use the water underneath for pulling easy.
Well, how do you do that? I've
thought this,
but...
You see, when you use hardwood runners, you have to, in the morning, you have to make a water, cold water or something like that, and just
let it freeze.
Mm-hmm. Right under the runner.
You kind of rub it with water.
Mm-hmm.
And then the water freezes on it?
Freezes it under the runner right away, you see, after you put it.
Yeah, and that makes it smooth?
Smooth, yeah. Make it smooth. And then after you put the water under the runners, you have to use the water a little bit warm. Make it a little bit hard so that it can be smooth. When you put it before. It's smooth. It's easy to pull. How much you put in a load, you put 1,000 pounds in a slate, it's easy to pull.
I see.
As long as the ice was under the runners. That's what we use it.
You know, I heard that somebody down at Nome told me that one time. And then I told some man about that in Fairbanks or something. You know, and, oh, he said, I can't imagine. He says that... He'd never heard of that before, you know, but I said, yeah, that's what I heard. That's a good way to make them very smooth.
Mm-hmm.
By golly, that's...
Well, if you didn't want to make a hot water or something like that, You have to turn your slate upside down and use your knife to make it smooth.
I see. Is there
that's the easiest way to smooth it.
Is there any difference in the way the sleds are made? The lashing or, you know, just the basket? Or is there any difference in sleds?
Yeah, they're making all different kind of a sled if you want to make it, you see. Right now they're making a pescat sled, like you see them around here, someplace made out of a hardwood.
Yes. But in the early days...
But in the early days, my old parents have to make a sled out of driftwood.
Out of driftwood?
Mm-hmm. They don't ever use a nail or something like that, but they have to
tie it
up with string or something like that. And then put the bone runners on it. If you use the bone runners, you have to do just like you use it, hardwood runners. You have to put some water underneath. Well,
mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. It's exciting. Good, you can hold just that if you want. Oh, it's very interesting.
Oh. Well, what do we...
We were talking about how the sleds were lashed.
Mm-hmm, yeah. We were talking about already, I think, on that.
Yeah? Let me see. Well, we didn't finish talking about... We talked about you lived here and you got married. And then you did some trapping.
Yeah.
And for fox.
Fox.
And what else?
White fox, red fox, cross fox, blue fox, or anything.
Any kind of fox. Is there anything else that you?
There are lynx around here, wolf, wolverine. You only can find it.
Did you trap in the regular traps like you get?
Yeah. He used that. But before I was born, my old father was using a stone or something like that for making a trap.
Is that so?
Yeah. Sometimes driftwood or something like that.
With a snare, maybe?
I don't think they use a snare on fox in the wintertime.
Well, how would you
make it? Well, I could show you how to make it, but I don't think you're going to understand by my own talking.
Yeah, it's hard to talk. Yeah, but he used stones.
Yeah, they used a stone where some are driftwood. You see, if they want to make a trap out of driftwood, they have to have two pieces of driftwood, round one or something like that.
Two or three pieces of driftwood?
Two.
Two pieces of driftwood.
Mm-hmm. It's about, one is about, the bottom one is about 4 or 5 feet long.
Yes.
And the other top one, it should be a little bit longer than that. It's about 10 feet, I think.
Yes, that's
it. It's got to be a little bit heavier than the bottom one. So when they put the bottom one down right on top of the snow, just before they put that driftwood, they have to take snow, just like in making a foxhole. So they put the piece of meat right inside of that hole there. And after you put the piece of meat right in that hole, you have to put the driftwood right on top of the snow, right where your hole is. And then make it solid, you see, you can never move, try to make it solid. And then on top of that, they have to put another driftwood laid so they can, when they trap down this, they have to rest on that bottom wood. You see, just lay down like this.
At an angle.
Angle. And then you put a piece of a wood to stand up.
Yes, I see. Sure.
And when the fox come in and smell for that piece of meat inside of that hole,
yes,
try to go into the hole, he have to push that.
The upright piece.
Mm-hmm.
And he tips that over.
Mm-hmm.
And so the top board, which is very heavy, falls on top and
Knocks him out.
Very good.
You can never get away from that trap, too.
I see. That heavy board just pins him down.
Mm-hmm.
Very clever.
That's the same way with a rock, too, just like it.
Same Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's kind of nice to know if you get out in the...
Well, you was up in a lot of trees up here. You have to use a trap making a hunting for your something, rabbit or something like that.
Yeah, well, you never know when you might have to catch some kind of animal like that.
Mm-hmm. But me, I don't never try myself on that one.
No.
Because a regular trap has come around here just before I start doing this.
How come so many people started moving into Barrow here? Was it because of the trading post mostly?
Well, this year they don't never do that before. But as long as the Navy came around here, some people right next to our place, somewhere around Wainwright or something like that, they start moving around looking for a job. Some of them are still here working up there. As long as a lot of job around here, right, coming here, a lot of people are coming right now.
Yes.
All the way from Point Hope, some down from Kotzebue, Fairbanks, they're come around here, a lot of them.
We talked about, you told me you drove the mail. Did you ever have any, very dangerous experience? And did you get into, like, a bad storm? I don't suppose you ever got lost. If it were me, I'd get lost. I know you wouldn't get lost, but...
Right here, in my place, I get never lost sometimes, but in the wintertime, as long as you know the country, you get lost, too, when the storm comes.
Yes.
But I don't never travel in the storm, you
in
see, because
in
bad weather.
You stop.
Because when you wash up the inland, in the stormy time, you can even see about as much as far as you're... Just about 10 feet away from you, you can never see it.
Mm-hmm.
In the wintertime when it's blowing hard, mm-hmm. trip, which is something like that snow,
mm-hmm.
you can never see as much as that.
Do you learn to pick your way by looking at the snow? You know, like, somebody told me that you know the snow. You know, like, some places, people learn to navigate by looking at the water, by the waves, the way the waves run on the water, and then the current, maybe there'll be a big wave this way and a little wave runs this way, and so then they know which direction to take the boat, because they know the wave always goes in a certain direction, so they make the boat. You know, it's a navigation aid. It's a direction. And in the
summertime when you travel by the boat, you have to, if you learn the current which way is turned, that tells you where to travel.
Mm-hmm.
In our place right here, the current is from south and from north, all the time.
Well, in the winter, when you're traveling by dog team.
In the winter time.
Can you use the snow the same way?
Yeah.
The snow.
It's just like a compass.
Yes.
When you learn the snow.
That's what I mean. You learn the snow some way.
Mm-hmm. You know when the east wind is blowing hard for about 2-3 days. And then the wind stop when you travel, you see. Some snow is making a, just like a, whatever you call.
Ridges?
Mm-hmm.
The little ridges.
Ridges like this.
Yes.
But the east wind make it.
Yes.
The,
like sand dunes, the little
mm-hmm.
ridges.
The smooth on the other side, on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
But on the east side, it's just cut right that way.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know, east wind make that.
Yes.
Because the south end is moved down this way. And the east side is just cut that way.
I see.
Mm-hmm. That the east wind made that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you was up in inland, you was heading home to Barrow. If you see some of this thing, you have to point out which way you're going to travel by looking at this.
Now, what if the wind changes?
Even when the wind is changing, that's still staying that way. Because when the cold weather come after that east wind blowing, the cold weather is up coming about 60 or more than 65 or something like that, when the clear weather is, temperature is up. That frees up that thing, they can't never.
And they stay, the prevailing wind makes these ridges. So even if the wind changes another time,
then they still stay
those
here.
Frozen ridges are there.
Because the cold weather frees it up.
I heard one time that there are many different kinds of words in Eskimo for snow, different kinds of snow. And I've always wondered, is that like for soft snow or hard snow?
I don't ever, I can never tell you that myself. I call it an Eskimo, but in I don't know what about English.
What are some of the words, some of those Eskimo words for kinds of snow?
The light snow is what we call is nutak, young one,
yes.
Young snow. I can never, it's not hard to step on it. It just sit right here. Just like you see the snowflakes just before it's freezing, you just sink right onto it. That's what we call nutak, meaning young snow. The old one is what we call sidyak. When you step on that sidyak, you can never mark with your feet. It's hard like a floor.
Yes.
That's what we call sidyak.
Old snow.
Been in here for a whole year.
I see. And how about then snow coming from the sky, falling snow? Is there a word for like snow when it's falling?
Snow falling is kannik. Over in Fairbanks there are a lot of them. I know it too in the wintertime. That's what we call kannik, falling snow.
It's like your name, but a little bit different. Does your name mean something?
I don't know. Meaning, kannik, what we call is trapped from air.
Yes, I see. Well, now, would that mean anything that fell from the sky?
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Not from the tree, but from air.
From the air. Like a man jumps out of an airplane. Same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Now how about snow out on the pack ice? Is there any difference for that?
I don't think so.
Or if...
In our place, they're not very different, I think. It's just the same word.
I see.
But in some another people, something like Canadian side or something like that, there might be a lot.
They have a few different words. But that's very interesting. The fact that you maybe don't have as many words, because I heard that there were a lot of different kinds of words.
That's what I learned. I was just traveling between down to Bornholm, Nome, Eurek, a lot of small places, Kubak. I've been all around these, but some of the words I don't ever understand what they are.
Tell me, in the early days, were there special trails for where people would go between villages, like over in Inuvik, I heard some people talking, and Broader Island people talking about relatives at Noatak, and I heard Noatak people talking about relatives over in Broader Island and Inuvik. Did you ever hear of any trails that went through the mountains back and forth?
Well, I tell you, Nunamute is traveling back and forth all the time.
Are they?
As far as from I don't know where, about up in the east. They just followed the caribou or something like that, animals, what they had. They don't ever have a place to live in the whole year.
They were always traveling with
them? Always traveling. That's what my old father told me.
Is that so? Did they?
Sometimes they have to stay in one place for about a month or something like that when the good hunting place is there. something like a fishing in the lagoon or in a river or something like that. They have to stay here for about a month or more than that. But when that hunting place is not very good, they have to move another place again. That's how they live. So that is why I had some of my relations down in Kotzebue. I send a tape all the time, you see, to my... That's the same... I had a person down here live, raised up just like I do, in Nunamir's place.
He's down
Kibalina.
Who is that?
You know, Reverend Milton Swan, Nyakwaluk.
What's the name?
Milton Swan.
Nepaluk, you said.
Nyakwaluk.
I only heard the name. He's your relative?
That's his wife, my relative.
Oh.
He raised up in Nunami's place, just like me. So that is why him and me is in the same place, raised up in the same place.
I see.
That is why I call him my relative.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
You're like a relative.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have
the same thing you did, is talking about over in Kaktovik and some down in Kuruk.
Yes.
That is why I'm making a relative that way, I think.
I see. They travel back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I see. The Nunamute traveling back.
Mm-hmm. And my relative up in what they call an Oktobic Pass. They're mostly all my old parents. They were up in October all the time, spring all the time, but they're just moving. Up east or south or something like that.
With the caribou, staying
there. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's real interesting. Did they have any special way that they caught them when they were in the rivers? Somehow over in Canada, I saw a picture of, they would drive them in the water. Oh, they had kayaks. They had kayaks that they used, and
mm-hmm.
When the animals got in the water, you know, they'd come up to them with the kayak and spear them, or I suppose with a bow and arrow, they'd shoot them.
That's what they do, too. My old parents, they do that, too. They had a kayak, they had a canoe.
Yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a big job to carry that stuff.
No, they don't ever carry this canoe and a kayak in the wintertime. They have to cast it someplace.
Of course.
So in the springtime, they had to go back to their canoe and kayak.
Of course. I understand there was a trail from the Noatak, up the Noatak River, and then I think into Point Hope, an old portage. They would take their boats up so far and cache their boats and then go overland to Point Hope. Did you ever hear that?
I don't know. I never been down there most of myself in the wintertime, but I don't ever know that place myself. Only thing I learned a little bit when I was carrying a mail,
yes,
all the way from Point Hope to Poindley. I know a little bit between Wainwright and Barrow.
Mm-hmm. That inside route. Did you ever go over to Siberia?
No.
In your travels?
No.
Ever got over there? Tell me, I understand that whaling here is a little bit different than down at Point Hope. When you did have a boat and were whaling, did you ever notice any difference?
Well, I don't ever visit down Barnhope as when they finished the whaling in the springtime. They had some kind of a custom to run it after they hunted whales. But not right here, only we have Nunukoduk, that's all we have in here.
I was wondering if in some way they shoot the whale or bring him in or anything, if there was anything they did different. Somebody told me that the whaling at Point Barrow was different than at Point Hope, and I didn't know how it could be.
When they carry the meat home or something like that?
I don't know. I didn't whale at either place.
Well, in the springtime when we're whaling around here, if somebody catch whale, we have to cut him down there.
Uh-huh.
Down on the ice.
Uh-huh.
So we have to take the blubber and the meat or something like that by a dog's leg.
To bring it in?
Mm-hmm.
That might be some of the difference. Now, when you hunt in the fall, you've got a wide lead here, or wide open water.
In the fall, we have to... I don't think they hunt a long time ago. My old parents. You see, over in the point. You know where the point is?
Yes, I was.
There's not a village over there in the point.
There was?
That big village, too, just like at Barrow. So that is why they hunting whale in the fall. That they're using a whaleboat. One that was laying right here, right by the mission place.
Yes.
Just like this. Just around the point, there's a lot of whales, right on the sand spit, way east of that point.
I see. More than right here, because here we're about 10, 12 miles south, really, and we're not out in the water. Like out on the point, they've got the water on either side, and the whales go right by that point.
Mm-hmm.
So they could get to them easily.
Yeah, in the fall, they have to follow the sand spits all the way from the east, you see.
Mm-hmm.
When you're going up whale hunting in the fall, you have to go each side of a point, and you just travel about 4 or 5 miles away from that point, you see a lot of whales, right on the sand spit. Some of them is, you can never go down under the water very shallow, you see. You could see them.
Hmm.
When they come in, the whale come in this way though.
Mm-hmm. Coming back to the west.
Mm-hmm.
Do they stay inside from those spits or those islands? Do they stay in the
on the
other side?
You see that lagoon there?
Yes.
That is not awful deep enough to go the whale inside.
No, I should.
One time I know for about three, four whales is trying to go inside the bay, right into that lagoon. They again never make it.
They didn't get in there.
Mm-hmm. There's too shallow right in that lagoon. You see that is why.
Yes. Now you hunt the bowhead, baleen whale.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other kind of whale.
That's the only kind of whale around here.
Okay. Now how about the white whale, the beluga?
Beluga is a lot of them around here too. In the springtime or in the fall.
Does anybody hunt beluga here?
Springtime.
In springtime.
Not often right here, but going downwind right.
They do.
They drive the whitefish into the lagoon through the, whatever they call, the little river or something like that. You've been downwind right?
I haven't been
there yet. Well, if you get down to the village, you fly on the fly going downwind right. You see the camp right on the beach. That's Wainwright camp. And right on the back, you see the big lagoon. That is where they trapped the beluga.
Is that so? In that lagoon?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting.
So,
now, this lagoon out here, I noticed yesterday I drove out, there were fish nets out there. That's not the lagoon, that's just on the...
Well, sometimes they don't ever go inside of that lagoon too, not often.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they go in, but we don't ever hunt any.
You don't? Nobody here at Barrowhead's
No, place? I don't ever hear. One time, when I went up by the boat, going up hunting, caribou, right on the lagoon, we find a lot of belugas in the lagoon. But it is, that lagoon is too big, you see, can never drive somewhere to get it. So we just look at it.
Yeah, just look at it. Mm-hmm. How about Ugruk? People hunt Ugruk here.
Around here in the springtime, a lot of them.
How about winter hunting? Does anybody hunt on the ice here in the winter?
A lot of them in the old time. I was one of them too in the old.
You did? How do you hunt on the ice then?
Well, just by walking or using your dog team. Depends on how far the lead is.
Do you hunt at the edge of the lead?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
So hunting seal or something like that, ugruk or something. Polar bear or something like that, anything you see in the wintertime. But when there is no water down far, you have to look for a seal hole.
Yes, yes.
When you find it, you have to watch it.
Yes.
Sit right by the hole, you have to watch it. Waiting for about 3-4 hours sometime. till the seal is come out through that hole. You could hear it when you breathe. Yes.
You could?
Yes, you could hear it when you breathe through that hole. When you hear it, when you breathe, you shoot it right on that hole. You catch the way. You catch seal.
Now, do you shoot him with a gun?
Mm-hmm.
Why, how can you get him then?
Well, I had a spare to making a hole. Cut the ice.
You cut the ice first before he's...
No, after I shoot it.
Oh, I see, but he doesn't sink then?
No.
Well, he doesn't.
In the wintertime, the shirt again never sink.
Oh, I always
It's fat like anything in the wintertime. It can never sink.
He floats because of so much blubber.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
But in the... Later on spring, when putting the ice cone away from here, the seal get thinned. When you shoot the seal right on the water, you sink right away.
I see. I always wondered about that. Now tell me, how do you keep warm when you stand over there?
Well, try to do something as much as you can. Waiting, if you, that's the only thing you have to catch.
You know, I heard in Canada, the men
you know that?
No.
We don't ever had any diesel or stove oil in that time.
No.
The hot time for us to keep the ice warm. I don't know. We have to work it on our driftwood, looking for driftwood sometime in the wintertime. Burn the driftwood in our stove, keep the house warm. Also the plumber in the wintertime, mm-hmm. Any kind of a plumber.
Now, so that when you lived here in Barrow in the earlier days, there were still a lot of sod houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard that the houses in Barrow were, dug down in the ground a little bit and then built up over the top and you came down through a tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Now, when I was a boy, I was sleeping in that kind of a house.
You did?
Mm-hmm. It's warm. I don't ever have no stove.
Yeah?
No.
Is that right?
I don't ever have no stove.
A lamp?
Just a lamp. Two lamps right on the corner.
It wasn't in the middle?
No.
It was on the side?
Mm-hmm. Right on the corner. And right in the middle is hole down. That is the door.
From the top? No.
From when you want to go out from your house, you have to get down to that hole.
You go down
mm-hmm.
to the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Now your hallway is about, it's about, let me see, 10 feet, more than that I think, 10 feet long, right through the,